To drive to Lancaster. So what I'd like to do is using the agenda, which I now just lost here, I would like to turn over the chairing of the or running the meeting to someone who is there in the room. So is Nancy Howard in the room?
I
I believe you are next in line. You are the secretary.
No, I'm not this time, am I? Somebody else is.
Thank you, Gary is correct.
I've been advised that I'm secretary.
Okay, well, either way, because Nancy could have said, Gary, can you do it? Gary, would you be willing in this weird circumstance tonight to take over this running of this meeting for us?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay, so you have been officially appointed and I'm going to let you take over.
Already? Okay, I'll call this meeting of the Grant and Iowa Counties Unified Community Services Board to order. Open meetings law certification.
Meeting notice was sent to six newspapers, including Grant County Herald Independent and two radio stations in Grant and Iowa counties, posted in four public locations, two offices of Unified Community Services in both county buildings, and on Grant and Iowa counties and Unified Community Services websites. Notice was given that the meeting will be conducted in person and via electronic video conferencing.
Great, thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Carol Beals is excused, correct?
Yes.
John Beinborn?
Here.
Janelle Carroll?
Here.
Joan Davis?
Here.
Nancy Howard?
Here.
John Kendrick?
Here.
Amy Kite?
Here.
Stephen Obershaw?
Here.
Justin O'Brien?
Here.
Gary Ranum?
Here.
And Mike Tiber?
Here.
All right. And then others present are Holly Knapp, Jessica Munson, Ben Biddick, Nate Dreckman. And is there anybody else present on Zoom?
Andrea Larson. Bruce Paul.
Okay.
Robert Keeney.
Okay.
And Larry Walker.
Larry Berkey.
Yes.
Okay.
Got everybody?
I believe so, yep.
Okay, are there any modifications to the agenda, moving anything around, Holly?
I just want to confirm whether or not Justin and Joan just received the minutes. I just re-emailed them to both your accounts, Justin and Joan, to your supervisor account.
Yes.
Yes, I see them now.
Otherwise, I'm happy to do a screen share for anyone who doesn't have them and pull them up on the meeting.
I'm good with this, thank you.
I apologize for that.
Don't worry.
Motion to approve the agenda is published.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and second, all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to item number five, approval of the minutes. I guess we can do these individually. Personnel Committee minutes from August 21st, 2024. Any additions or corrections, questions?
If not, I'll make a motion to approve.
I second.
Have a motion and a second to approve the minutes for the Personnel Committee, August 21st. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Personnel Committee meeting minutes of Monday, October 14th, 2024. Any additions or corrections? A motion to approve?
So moved.
Justin and Joan, would you guys like a little more time to be able to read them?
Yes, if I could.
Okay.
I'm reading as you guys talk, so thank you.
Let us know when you're ready.
I see that Aaron O'Brien is mentioned as present at the last meeting. Was there a Karen O'Brien, or is that referring to my wife? Was she wasn't present, was she?
Yes, she was there.
Yeah, she was in the room.
She was. Okay, I'm sorry. That's right. She was. I apologize.
Have you guys finished with the August 21st minutes yet?
I have.
Okay. Any additions or corrections by anyone? Okay. Did you make a motion to approve? I think you did, right?
We have a motion and a second for August 21st.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving the minutes as published, please say aye.
Aye.
That was for October 14th?
Yes.
Yes.
And who made the motion in the second?
I made a motion.
Steve, and who second?
I'll second it.
Thank you.
And Holly, it was October 16th.
That's the board meeting. It's the 16th. Yeah. This was the second set of personnel minutes. Okay, all in favor of the personnel minutes from October 14th, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next are the Finance Committee meeting minutes of October 14th at 5:30. Any additions or corrections? Do you guys need time to review those as well? Justin and Joan?
Just one second.
That's fine.
I'm ready.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Any additions or corrections?
Approve.
Move to approve?
Yep.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes of October 14th. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And finally, on to the Unified Community Services Board meeting minutes of Wednesday, October 16th. I'll give you guys a little bit of time to review those. Does anyone else have any additions or corrections while they're reading those? There a motion to approve? I won't call for a vote until they've read them.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Steve.
I have a motion and a second. Let us know when you're ready, Justin and Joan.
I'm all set.
I'm all set.
Okay. All in favor of approving those minutes as published, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Those minutes are approved. And we'll move on to item number six, introduction and opportunity for members of the audience to address the board. Don't believe there are any members of the audience to address the board. So
we have some people on Zoom.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Anyone on Zoom who wishes to address the committee, the board? Okay, thank you. I will move on to item number seven, payment of the bills for October and November 2024.
Okay.
I don't believe, as far as October goes, there is anything over $1,000 until we get to page 5. In the center of the page, there's a subscription to My Evolve. That is our first electronic health record. And that was a 2023 subscription.
What was the name again?
My Evolve.
Okay.
Moving on to page 8, the third line down, invitation to change books. Those were SOAR materials that we ordered and we will be reimbursed for. The top of page 9, the third line down, the Oshkosh USAM is a SOAR funded conference that we sent our behavioral health staff to. That's also reimbursed under the SOAR grant. Moving forward to page 11, the last several lines on the bottom is our Lancaster lease payments broken out by department. The top of page 12 to Arbor Place, there's $2,121. That's room and board, paid by a room and board grant for a facility. In the center, we have $1,480 for workers. It's actually unemployment. The next line down, Evergreen Manor for $3,773.23. We have a CCS client there we're reimbursed for. Moving forward to page 13, about three quarters of the way down, there's $2,118 to Lenovo. That was for laptops, I believe. On page 14, towards the bottom, MNJ Technologies, $1,201. More IT supplies. I'm not sure what specifically that was, but it's listed out for the team members there that that's allocated to. On page 15, there's the 2024 My Evolve subscription. And in the center of the page, Northwest Counseling and Guidance. That is the crisis phone service. On the top of page 16, Options Counseling, that's another SOAR contracted facility. That's $1,160. Three quarters of the way down, Kelly Quinn is an adult family home that we have a client at that family home. The second to last line is Dr. Martha Raleigh for $4,735. That's our medical director fees. And then you'll see again two more lines at the top of the next page. In the center of page 17, our Dodgeville rent for October and November. On page 18, Tellurian, that's for detox, that was $2,728. Moving down to County of Trempealeau, we see this reoccurring every month. That's inpatient charges, it's $10,654.75. And then towards the bottom of the page and the beginning of page 19 is our October rent for Lancaster. Any questions on any of those charges?
What's the My Evolve?
My Evolve was our initial electronic health record. When we switched over to NetSmart, we knew that we would have to keep both going.
My Evolve is NetSmart. We switched over.
NetSmart, I mean Echo, sorry. They're different names for them. So we kept that going. We were working with them to try to get a lesser subscription just for access only and not all of the bells and whistles. We never got that, and they ended up never charging it to us. And then we ended up getting two at once for the next year.
So for NetSmart, we've got like $40,000 charges, two different places.
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
2 different years.
Yeah.
And then I had another question. It had to do with CLTS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has it down as professional and contracted services with really no more explanation than that. And we have 55 entries on that in October and 105 entries in November. Can you tell us kind of generally, I mean, not what CLTS is, but what it is that we're charging?
It's the
professional services that are that many times.
Professional services are the purchases that I think in October we talked a lot about those adaptive items that we order for them. When they're entered in, with the family's name, which we redact before we bring to the board. If you want an idea, I think what I can do, most of those are ordered through Amazon. Mm-hmm. I can provide a spreadsheet to you if you ever want to look at them, just to kind of get an idea of what that is.
So and they're kind of things rather than services.
Right. And it's put under professional services because we have a contract with the state. So that's how I'm able to go back in and then do the reporting on them, is it's under the professional service versus an operational expense.
So they allow you to claim for those.
Everything is reimbursed at 100%.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the explanation.
You're welcome. Any other questions on October?
I have one. Go back to the County of Trempealeau. Is that one individual?
Yes. Yes.
AODA?
I couldn't even tell you, to be honest.
Or is it mental health?
Primary mental health.
Mental health.
Mental health. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Move on to November. In November, I don't think that we have a high dollar charge until page 5. You can see Lenovo, that's for a laptop. It's $1,059. And then not again until page 11. There's a CLTS purchase that was $1,311.44. I did not have the time to get in there to see what that specifically was. But it was, again, one of those adaptive supplies that we are reimbursed at 100% for. Moving down the page, we have workers' comp for $1,650. And then Evergreen Manor, that is our CCS client in that family home, that's $3,854.15. Towards the bottom of page 13, we have a client that was put into a hotel, and there's a $1,000 charge there for that. And then we have Northwest Counseling and Guidance, that's the crisis phone service. Moving forward to page 15, I believe.
Can you tell us why there's two identical entries for that?
For the crisis service?
Yeah, the Northwest Counseling. Is that two months or is that?
I have to double check with her because that stuck out to me too. I'm thinking it is. I know what we were trying to do was get everything in for the end of the year. So I'm not sure if that is. I need to double check with Kelly or
accountant. I think she just divided them between the crisis.
Then on the 15th, Kelly Quinn, that's an adult family home that we have is $1,235. Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative, that's a therapist that we contract with for the birth of three, that's $1,118. Towards the bottom of 15 and the first two lines of page 16, that's our Dodgeville lease expense. Moving forward then to page 17, the County of Trempealeau, the same as we saw last month, $10,605. And we have December rent for Lancaster. On page 18 in the center, we have a check for the state of Wisconsin Department of Health Services for $1,080. 2022, the invoice that they send us for our family care contribution, the pass-through that we get, was short paid from $1,080. I have no idea how that happened. I don't think again until page 21, Lenovo for $1,059, that's a laptop for one of our CCS service facilitators. The top of page 22, there's a CPAP reimbursement. You can see that was for a dance. Moving down, Dr. Raleigh for $2,507, our medical director. There's another for $1,298 and $1,299. Rural Wisconsin Health Cooperative is our birth of three therapists. I believe that's everything. Any questions on any of those?
So for your medical director, Jess, on that same date, 11/29, there's just a penny difference between, and it's showing to our, the same month of October 2024 invoice on page 22. Dr. Martha Rose.
I'm just going to take a peek at her invoice. I believe it's for the day. It's broken out by the department, I believe, the time spent.
So it's a math issue.
What's that?
Said it's a math issue. You divided
what,
the
what page is that on again?
22.
Yeah, it was, it's split in half, and they just round, it was the rounding issue for one of them. It was split out between mental health and AODA, so charges.
Okay.
Any additional questions for Jessica on the invoices, the bills? Is there a motion to approve those for October and November?
Second, Steve.
We have a motion and a second.
Don and Steve?
Yep.
Yes.
All in favor of approving that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 8, reports. Director's report, Holly.
I will go over November and December for you all. They're kind of in summation here. We've worked pretty heavily on our budget that was successfully approved. The details of the approvals are below. If you have any questions about that, let us know. We continue to work on the indirect cost allocation. Grant County Administrator Nate Druckmann has been meeting with Iowa County Administrator Larry Berkey, and we are very hopeful about kind of coming to an understanding and some agreement on the process and how we handle it moving forward. Administrator Berkey has asked to be put on our agenda for January with Nate to come and talk to our group kind of about what they're working on.
Our group, meaning this group or your office group? Or?
Our unified board, this group, yes.
Holly, I have a question about the budget.
Yes.
Since there's this requirement for the sharing by a set ratio with Grant County and Iowa County approved $50,000 less than what was in the budget, if we were to stick with the ratio, that would end up causing a, if Grant County were to reduce by the same ratio, basically, that would cut our total budget by $93,749. What do we intend to do about that?
Do we have other sources?
I want to make sure that I'm really clear with what was asked. What is the numbers that are outlined for you in the director's report under the budget are purely the tax levy asked.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And does not include the indirect cost allocation ask that is also in our budget.
Okay.
So I think there's two separate things. We got a reduction in the tax levy ask, and we didn't get the full ask for the indirect cost allocation.
The indirect costs are part of the budget.
Correct.
So the reason I'm asking the question is, you know, according to our bylaws, we have to divide the levy contributions by this ratio that has to do with population. And that's basically 2/3 to 1/3. And so, given the fact that Iowa County reduced theirs by $50,000, that would suggest that Grant County would be in line to reduce theirs by $100,000. I think it's a little less than that, actually.
I think what Holly's trying to say is that the tax levy for us was kind of broken into two different things. The total ask for Iowa County was over $400,000, including that $100,000 in tax levy. So that was included in the entire tax levy in the budget for Iowa County's portion, as the $200,000 for indirect cost was also included in Grant County's tax levy cost.
Right.
So the $300,000 that was approved by Iowa County is what we consider our tax levy cost. But so that was reduced by $50,000, but also reduced by the $100,000 in the indirect cost.
So to answer your question, it's my understanding that Grant County doesn't intend to reduce their tax levy ask. We're trying to wrap up 2023 and then eventually 2024 to see where we fiscally stand and whether or not we give Iowa, like Grant County, back their portion of the tax levy, or we re-request a different tax levy amount from Iowa County. We haven't really made a definitive answer on what we're going to do as a result of not getting what we requested and budgeted for. And I think we're just waiting for some dust to settle on both sides and a lot of factors before we decide what to do about it. So we've kept, per Grant County, the request as is and Iowa County's as is for now. And we're not exactly sure what we're doing about it yet, but we've talked about it tentatively. If the board has direction, it's also why it's on the agenda later. If the board wants to get an update, have some discussion and make a motion about it, there's opportunity for that in the agenda.
I guess one other question that I would have is, and we'll probably discuss this later, is that how do we plan on coping, even if Grant County stays with the approved budget, how do we intend on coping with $50,000 reduction? Because as far as I know, we haven't cut our expenses in the budget yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something? I just want to say that Iowa County is still continuing to be committed to that ratio. We're not looking to bypass our commitments. I think at this point, we would ask that you give us a couple of months to do some education and help everybody understand what indirect costs are and how it's applicable in this situation. And perhaps we may need to do a budget amendment. We may need to have those discussions as to how do we balance this out later in the year. But we are still committed to that ratio, whatever that means.
Thank you. Okay, sorry for the introduction, Holly.
Continue. No, I think the same question was on many people's minds, at least you and I, but no one else, yes.
We have applied for our SOAR 4 state opioid response grant. We have been awarded grant funds. The final dollar amount is going to be discussed with us at a meeting tomorrow. Typically, that's around $400,000. There were a lot of applicants this time, and so they had to cut everyone's budget. We did some voluntary cuts to get our budget down because we submitted like a $675,000 budget. So we anticipate it'll end up around what we typically get, but we'll know more tomorrow.
I see a large pharmaceutical company reached another settlement, correct?
These are different funds.
Pardon me?
These are different funds.
Would that be an addition coming in, though, in the future, you think? There was a large $650 million settlement.
So are you saying, so there's a pot of money that went straight to the counties, mm-hmm. and then there's a pot of money that was given to the states to manage. So they're possibly?
Okay. Be down the road.
SOAR grant is a federal state opioid response grant funding that's right. from the feds that comes through DHS of Wisconsin, and they distributed it out to applicants. Okay. This is our third or fourth year participating in this grant cycle, and it's typically a three-year cycle. So okay. once we're awarded the funds, we get that amount for 3 years.
Very good.
Can I just clarify, please, Gary? So the SOAR grant has been around for several years from the federal government. And then after that, these lawsuits were settled, and that's the opioid settlement money. Is that accurate?
They're happening at the same time.
But they're totally, the SOAR grant isn't from the lawsuits. Is that right?
So. I guess I'm not sure. I don't know where the SOAR grant funding came from federally.
Okay. Thank you.
It's SOAR. It's the state opioid response. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Jessica and her team have been working on wrapping up LIMCR. Last year, we found out our LIMCR allocation on December 18th. So we've been on the heels of watching for that revenue and wrapping up our 2023 audit, continuing to work with the Grant County Finance team to firm up anything they need. We've been doing a lot of work in our electronic health record. It's called ECHO. It is owned by Therapy Brands. We're working on what we input in to make sure we're getting accurate data and reporting out of it. We've been partnering with Grant County IT on the technology for that. We were supposed to have a DHS audit today for our Behavioral Health and Emergency Services program, but was canceled due to weather, and they'll come back in January. So, all the excitement for nothing. We continue to work on Carlson and Detman, to be completely honest, in the last month or two because of year-end closures and volume and acuity. We really tabled it. They've also experienced some turnover within their department. So, they're comfortable with that. Right now, what we're working on is JDQs, which are the job description questionnaires. They're about a 17-page document each position. One needs to be completed for each position or job title at the agency. And so the teams are working on filling out that document together. We're hoping to wrap that up January, February, get it to Carlson and Detman. They will use that then to ensure the accurate FSLA status of our job titles and the market analysis. And then we will sit down as a team and begin work on our wage schedule. We're hoping to wrap the project up in the spring. I did submit the DHS Capital Projects Grant on behalf of the agency on September 6th. We were not awarded the funding. The funding went to one entity called Apricity, which is a residential treatment facility. We have moved 7 of our administrative staff into the annex building. So we've been very excited about that. And the Grant County Board on December 10th allocated approximately $1.2 to $1.3 million in remaining ARPA funds to support the renovation project of BMO. So we have secured funding. There is a team that's being put together to discuss that. And we have it on the agenda to talk more details further if you have questions.
Joan has something.
Joan?
Thank you. Can you just explain the seven administrative staff? Like, is it mostly finance? I don't need their names. I just want to know what positions.
Me, HR, finance, and some drop-in workstations for our team leaders. So our whole finance team, Ben, myself, and a drop-in.
Who's in charge in the building, though? The other building.
Who's in charge of what?
Of that regular unified building.
Of what? Like the maintenance of the building?
Well, just there. Usually there should be there's a supervisor in a building, right?
Yes, there's three. Iowa County, we are exploring the capacity to be able to rent some space and have worked with the Iowa County Long-Term Planning Committee to discuss kind of a long-term project build for our location in Iowa County. That's what I have for you for November and December.
Any additional questions for Holly? Okay, we'll move on to the personnel report, Ben.
All right, we have a new hire in CCS. Emily Haney has joined us and is doing a great job. Is getting in the mix and seeing clients already, and that's exciting as that team grows and expands. We have three employees who moved to 1 year rate and 6 months rate. And then we have one of our therapists who has decided to transition to a different experience that more fits the needs of her family. So she will be finishing up with us on December 31st. And the vacancies that we're working on are the compliance and reporting business manager. We've been scheduling some interviews and looking at potential applicants for that position. Mobile crisis workers is an ongoing recruitment. SOAR funded positions for peer support and clinicians, we're evaluating those. Physical therapists, we just posted that position. We're seeking to hire as soon as possible on that, but no sooner than 1/1/25, I should say, to clarify. And then the occupational therapist, same time frame. Two dual credentialed therapists, we're seeking to hire. CCS service facilitator, we're seeking to hire. And then on there, Holly gave me an update today. We're looking at a CCS admin position in January 2025, and then the CLTS service coordinator position. That would not be higher. That would not be until September of 2025. Anyone has any questions, let me know.
I had a question about how optimistic are you on finding a physical therapist?
Very.
The reason I'm asking the question is that I was just talking with Kessa from Grant County.
Yes, me too.
And then how long has theirs been posted? 3 years?
I don't know.
Anyway, I know that she's tried to get on the same page as you guys. And Nate had suggested to me a few days ago about the possibility of being a, if we get these therapists or therapists on board, being able to share them somehow.
I talked to Kessa about that.
You'd like to share it with us?
I just said that. Let's look at it. If it makes sense, if we find one, how many hours do you need? Do we want to share one? So
Orchard Manor has requirement as well, I believe.
Okay.
So, you know, that may be something that we can look at helping one another out in the future somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, that also begs the question about occupational therapists, mm-hmm. because, you know, they're needed across all three organizations.
UW La Crosse is very strong in physical therapy and occupational therapy. I think you could bring a student along.
We got a list of universities from the team. Ben's going to be trying to make a partnership and do some direct advertising to try and get a new grad or an intern just to generate kind of a pipeline or some interest. We also asked our staff if any of them were interested in becoming a PT or OT and to start exploring what it would take to put the educational costs of that in the budget and pay for them to go to school. I have no idea what that costs, but we're trying to get ahead of it and create a pipeline and be as creative as we can. Just, I think, because of some of the stories and collaborating with Tessa on her difficulty in finding staff.
You know, what one of the issues is that we're contracting for it now, and there's always that markup with contractors, and you end up paying an awful lot of costs. And I think their pay schedule is a bit better than what ours is as well.
It's not as drastic as I thought. Kessa gave me some of her numbers and
for what they're paying in the private sector.
Yeah, $50 an hour for contracted services, and we pay mid 40s for like anywhere from 39 to 43 start for in-house PT. So there are some counties that are paying $293 an hour for contracted PT services. So I thought we were pretty lucky. I think we pay 65 to 85 an hour for our contracted. And so I think 50 is pretty lucky considering what I'm hearing is happening in some areas that have a monopoly in the state and shortages. And so kind of knowing we were trending that way and would be at subject to some of those rates eventually, started working to get this built into our budget to hire and word of mouth and recruitment. So
we need to make sure we know what the math is and that we're not searching a false economy on doing this. You know, my discussions with Kessa has suggested that it is more cost effective to have it in house, but if it's marginal, you know, the question is how much so, given the fact that we have to do benefits and all that.
And mileage. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions for personnel? Financial report, Jessica.
We have October and November in front of us. Okay, I think we'll just look at November since it's cumulative. Before we get to November, just an update on next year as we were speaking budget. We do the rate setting every year for our children's long-term support group. And we did just get that back. I think it was maybe last week. We went from a rate of $26.11 for a 15-minute unit to $30.62. For children's long-term support, we billed by the 15-minute unit. So we went from $26.11 to $30.82, which is the largest bump that I've seen that we've gotten in quite some time. Based off of the numbers as far as what we've done this year to date, next year that would give us an increase of about $85,000 based off that. I look for our volume obviously to increase next year as well.
So who determines that rate?
VHS? I do the rate setting for it using the projected expenses and overhead that we have for next year, and it's submitted to the state for approval.
So that 3082 is what they can came back with approved.
What they can bill and will be reimbursed. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Looking at November as far as our financial statement, there's a lot of information there. Is there any particular line item that anyone has a question on?
I noticed there were a few things throughout this that were significantly larger than what we had budgeted, like phone and internet. for example, several times, you know, a couple hundred percent over what we had budgeted for the year. And then the operational support. And then obviously office supplies. I mean, it like 400-500% over what we budgeted. Is that because of our expansion of personnel? Why is it?
There's a couple of different reasons for those. One of them, I kind of talked before about getting on the same page with our accountant. We have we had a changeover from one accountant to the other. I need to sit down with her. We plan to go over, I think next week, what was going into our budget. When we created this budget, it was in a completely different software system. And it was transferred over into Tyler Munis with not really comparing apples to apples. When we look at office supplies versus operational supplies versus other supplies, there's just a difference in staff and how they kind of categorize those when they do that. A lot of this is going to look like it's off the mark just based on how it was prepared, the change in the staff. The phone and internet, part of that was we went from having our own to having what was supplied by Grant County. When I did the budgeting, I didn't realize that we still have to have a certain service. I don't get the technicalities of all of it in Dodgeville. So that wasn't budgeted for initially. Any other questions on those?
Mileage and travel and client mileage and travel. Mm-hmm. Just quite a bit higher than what was
budgeted. And part of what that is we have people now in Tyler Munis that are able to assign their expenses, their time to the project or the department that they're working in, which is great for us. It's great for our reporting. When I prepared the budget, I looked at the FTE and this person was assigned to CCS and this person was assigned to mental health. So that's where all of their mileage went. But now as we see them working across the departments, it's also being allocated and shifted out to those different programs accordingly. So that is going to skew what our numbers look like as well. But it's far more accurate than what I'm able to do based off the time studies that we used to do.
Does that help us on reimbursement?
Yes. One of the biggest areas we were lacking in was our CCS. We have CCS clients that are in that program, but they see our outpatient mental health or AODA providers. What used to happen is that we didn't ever really get credit for that time that those outpatient providers spent with CCS because everything was allocated to either mental health or AODA, depending on whatever department program they worked in. Now we've got the ability to break those out, and we've got a growing CCS clientele, and you can see when I look through the payroll that we're getting that allocated to the CCS program. So it's huge for us.
One final question. With all these things I've been asking questions about, do you see a commensurate growth in our revenues that we hadn't budgeted for?
It's kind of across the board. I'm very interested to see what we do with WMCR because I can kind of project out based on the rates that we know that we have in our system and what we plan to do. It's WMCR where we report all of those other costs in, where we report all of the time spent and accurately under the program, where I hope to see the biggest increase, to be honest.
I look forward to seeing the closeout.
So in November, you will see a lot of that. I think honestly, going into next year, you're still going to see some of it. I had a really good conversation with Patrick, the Grant County Finance Director, the other day, talking to him about some of these accounts that we have. How will I have the ability to kind of revise the account names to make it more descriptive to us, to make it work for Unified? And it was a really good conversation. He's very much into being able to tailor this program to make it work for our needs. So that's something that we'll be working on next year. So I think that'll make our reporting better, make everything more accurate, easy to understand, where this is much better than what we had, but I think we can still improve it a little bit. When we look at November, the bottom line is on the top. So if you look at the 2024 year to date, It's all shaded different colors of gray on mine. I'm not sure if you guys have color or not. The line that says 900 Unified Community Services under the actual, that 1.571 million, that is where the bottom line is right now. And that's to the negative. So it doesn't look great, but I want to explain where we're at and why we're at and what we're expecting for the end of the year. The 1.571 million is total. So we have all of our November expenses in there. We received a check on December 2nd from the state. That was in the amount of $186,164. That's for the grant request that we submit to the state for October. So October's expenses are due November 15th to the state, deposited to us the first of the month following. So we have November and December yet to submit to the state to get that revenue in. And then we also clean up like our basic county allocation. I believe November when I submitted, it was right around $400,000. And then they'll take any charges that we have outstanding at Winnebago or the mental health hospital off of there. We also have been working very hard to get our CCS claims paid through Forward Health. At the beginning, well, about mid-year, there was a change to Forward Health after there was a healthcare breach nationwide. Forward Health increased their security and they made some changes in their claims processing. We also had a staff that was billing there and we had turnover. So there was a confusion there for a couple of months. We've not been able to get reimbursement from half of May through the rest of this year. So just for reference, June, I looked at the cumulative charges there. It's $87,000. So we're looking at anywhere, I would say, from $65,000 to $95,000 per month, which average it out about $88,000. We have about $616,000 through November to collect on that. We have pulled in everyone that we can. We're not getting resolution through the state. I contacted, we have a Medicaid rep that's assigned to us that works from a third party agency that's contracted with Forward Health. I pulled her in for help, not able to get anywhere. So my next plan of action is to go directly to the state. I have had to do this once before when I started CCS. I'm not sure why, but seems to be the program that we have the most problems getting reimbursement for. But once I pulled the state in, it was resolved fairly quickly. So that's what we're hoping for. In the meantime, I have two staff that have been working around the clock, keying our charges directly into Forward Health's portal because we're able to get reimbursement there. It's just far more time intensive. So we're working on that. I'm not worried about getting the revenue because we have a year to bill Medicaid, but I really would like to get it in to have it reflected on the financial statement at the end of the year. It would make this look a lot better. If we take off what I expect to receive, not even from the state expenses, but if we take off that CCS and the payment that we received for October, we're sitting at about a negative $425,000. I'm confident in that. We have WMCR that we haven't received yet. So it doesn't look good on paper, but knowing everything that we have out, I'm fairly confident that we'll finish off the year strong.
What was our WMCR last year?
$1.2 million. I'm not sure. It's not guaranteed. I know that there was an issue with some of our crisis billing. There might be a minor take back from that. Nothing substantial that I know of. But again, it's all in a formula and it's based off of what's left in the budget at the end of the year. So any questions on any of the rest of that? It's a lot.
If I may, it was a great report. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chairman's report. Did you have, is Carol up there anyway?
No.
There will be no chairman's report. Are there any reports from other board members? Now would be the time to have a resolution to receive the reports and place them on file. No one care to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that, Amy.
Yeah. Mike and Amy.
But Amy, yeah.
Okay. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 9, updates, discussion, and possible action surrounding Unified Community Services 2025 budget and indirect cost allocations.
We did not meet in November. A lot has happened. I don't have anything I need to take action on. I just, out of transparency and respect for the board, wanted to put an opportunity to talk about anything with the budget or indirect costs that the board would like to discuss or take action on. So wanted to create the space for updates and discussion.
What do you feel is up in the air?
How we do indirect costs moving forward. I'm very confident in the relationship that Nate and Larry have established on behalf of Unified Community Services. It feels extremely strong. It feels supportive. It feels very transparent. I am extremely hopeful that those meetings will be very fruitful and in supportive of their shared entity and how we operate.
So it's a work in progress.
It is. And I think we need to respect that. I think this is something our board and Grant County and Iowa County has been discussing for 2 years. But this is really the first time where I feel like the entities are collaborating and talking on behalf of the resolution that they established to create Unified and starting to understand Grant County's request and the ask and diving into it in a way that supports Unified and is in support of the shared entity. And so on Unified's behalf, we're feeling really good about the progress that's being made, looking forward to Administrator Berkey and Administrator Greckman's updates in January. Given Jessica's financial report and the turbulence that we've had surrounding some of these topics, we feel so hopeful about the partnership that we're not concerned about its impact on the budget. Given how it all happened and unfolded, we're really excited about just moving forward. We feel that if we can come up with a solution, great. If not, if we need to absorb it in our budget, we feel prepared to do that, but would bring it to you all for a budget amendment and some transparency and either an unexpected revenue that is balancing it out or unassigned fund balance or, so when we have numbers and we're prepared with some solutions of how to keep our budget balanced for the year, we'll be bringing that to you all. The entities need some time to sort out what that partnership looks like and what we're doing. And then we also need to see how we close out fiscal year in 23 and how we shape out financially for 24. And then I think we could come with some proposals. I just think we need a couple months, if that's okay. So there are some things that are out there, but we're working on it. And I think we need to let the dust settle before we could make a recommendation if you want.
So is next month actually possibly too early for us to have that back on our agenda?
For that and the details and what we're doing with our budget, yes. I think the goal, and Administrator Berkey can certainly speak to what his goals are for the January meeting. It's more to discuss the indirect cost allocation process and how we're going to handle that as a shared entity.
We have a meeting January 2nd with the gentleman that put together that plan.
Okay.
Larry and I do, so that we can understand. Maybe he understands a little more than I do, but I've never worked with anything like that, so I wanted him to explain the process, how he came up with the numbers. And I think Larry has some questions about some of the numbers and how they were brought forth in this plan. So that should give us a better understanding of how to talk about it, so that we can come back and explain it to you all how it works and why it's being done the way it's being done. That's the plan. So January 15th, well, I won't be around on the 15th. So maybe if Larry wants to come and explain it, what we learned, That would be great. I'll be out of the area that day.
Do you have a question, John?
I just want to say thank you to Holly and to, is it Nate and Larry that are both in the room? How reassuring that felt to hear that news. So thank you so much for sharing that.
So I'll follow up on that as well. You know, again, in the interest of transparency, I have reached out to the WCA and attorney Andy Phillips, hopefully to get him to analyze the structure of how we have Unified set up, to look at the historical pieces of it, the ordinance from 1974, so on and so forth, and hopefully help guide us in the direction we need to go. So Larry and I have been emailing back and forth with him to engage either him and his firm or through the WCA. We're hoping through the WCA that they'll be willing to take on a little bit of the burden of that, but we'll see what happens. But either way, I think it's the best interest of both of our counties to really understand, and for Holly's staff as well, as you know, the question's always been, what are we? Whose are we? Oh, you know, all that. So we need to get that done. We need to figure it out so that we can make sure that we're providing the best services we can to this, to the people that need it. Great. So that's coming too.
Look forward to it.
On behalf of Unified, I am so grateful for Nate and Larry for the energy that they're putting into supporting and clarifying and defining who we are. We were established in 1974. A lot has changed. A lot has changed in the last 5 years. I was sharing some numbers with them that in 2019, we enrolled 89 individuals into programs. And I'm just talking of one program enrollment. That's not services. 89 people. And in a month, and that same month this year in November, we enrolled 230. We're very proud of the services that we're doing. It's important that we're clear on how we're defined and structured so we can do strategic plans and plan for the future in our location and make good budget decisions that are supportive of our counties and the services that we render on their behalf.
I look forward to hearing the two administrators speak with a, if you'll pardon the pun, unified voice. Are we ready to go on to item number 10?
Yep.
Yes. Updates, discussion, and possible actions surrounding long-term space needs for Unified Community Services.
So again, creating space to talk about it. A lot has happened with our Grant County location. We have some shifting that could happen in our Iowa County location with just additional rent for a couple of years until we have a long-term plan. My biggest request of Nate and Larry is that before we really solidify a permanent long-term plan, that we understand how we're structured and what our future looks like. And we're doing that. We now have $1.3 million worth of funding, thanks to the Grant County Board of Supervisors identifying us as a priority to spend some ARPA funds. And so we're looking forward to using that for our space needs. So just wanted to create time here if there's any questions.
Holly, did you feel you received enough direction from the Grant County Board, as far as you had mentioned your expertise is obviously not in remodeling a building, but do you have enough people to help you or the support there for that?
We do. Nate is very heavily involved in supporting us and where this goes forward. Certainly Nate can speak on behalf of Grant County and how he's supporting the board's motion. Mm-hmm. We also met with a contractor on Monday afternoon who had helped us with the original plans to kind of give us a tentative path forward with the funding. So we're trying to identify who needs to be at the table and where we want to head with it. So
okay.
There is a lot being talked about.
Yeah.
It is a buzz topic at the moment.
It's a very fast moving right now, because you know we have till the end of the year to make sure this is exactly what Grant County wants to do with this funding, because it has to be allocated, a contract has to be signed, or the money has to be put in escrow for a specific purpose that falls under the ARPA funding guidelines. So as Holly said, we had an initial discussion with the designer that had put together a plan for that building initially, kind of got her thoughts on what would it take to be able to put in all of Unified from the building down on the south end of town into there. And then through that discussion, and then through a discussion we had with the county board chair, we've identified some other potential roadblocks that may hinder that possibility. So we're still continuing. This is going to be a rapidly evolving thing within the next week and a half or so that we may have to make a different decision. We'll see. But either way, this is moving forward in a positive direction, I feel. Good discussion, good ideas exchanged. I'm all about moving us forward. So
that's what I want to make
sure. Yeah, I'm 100% there. So that's why you guys hired me to do this, is to continue moving this county forward. So that's what we're doing with this project as well. It may morph into something different, but either way, the goal behind it is to create the space that Unified needs to provide the services to the community.
I just want to see this going forward.
I would comment based upon the action that took place in the county board meeting. The a lot of the impetus behind this was to get Unified moved out of rental space, and moved into places that were owned by the county, so that we weren't paying, that rent. That doesn't mean, by the way, that some of the cost of this space might end up being reflected in direct costs in the future. But the other problem was, I think that money has to be allocated by the end of the year 26.
Right? Has to be spent.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But by 26.
Correct.
And part of the problem that Nate talked about is if there are certain changes we make to the building, it might require some state approval, which could really slow down the process. And, that's why we need to get moving on it, like, right away. And I'm very encouraged hearing how involved Nate is on it. And, I think it's very doable, but we can't drag our feet at all.
We have, as a leadership team, have been extremely impressed with Nate and his onboarding and his reactiveness and his support. He's really working to understand, not just jump in and direct. And, he's really taking his time, and we're very respectful of what he has done and appreciative.
It's the most promising report I've heard on that in a while.
Right. I was excited to come. I was like, I am not canceling this meeting, because they need to know that these are getting resolved.
Great. Just great.
I am so tired of our 3-hour meetings, right? Yeah.
Very much.
Merry Christmas. It's
the best gift yet.
Yeah.
Holly, you mentioned earlier you're looking at some space issues in Iowa County to move the whole office.
No, just add another location. We have not secured a space large enough to move the whole office. We are going to be piecemealed for right now. I just think we need a couple years to come up with. We need time.
I think part of this grand, not grand, but the future planning of Unified is really hinged on us determining what Unified is. Mm-hmm. Because then that allows, either Grant County or Iowa County, then, okay, now we can create, the avenue forward and what's going to be needed for the future. So I personally, that's what I think this is really going to hinge on. Yeah. And we're hopefully we can get that done in a couple months, but again, it's going to depend on.
Might be ambitious.
Yeah, it depends on the workload that, Andy Phillips has and his availability.
We'll know more tomorrow too about our SOAR. We're using SOAR funds to pay for the rental space in Iowa. We're targeting the space for all of our SOAR staff, our peer support, our case manager for SOAR. So we're putting staff over there that have a reconciliation
indirect cost allocation that we can get reimbursement for the space. So it shouldn't hit our budget. We'll be able to offset it with other revenue. If it doesn't, we will come and ask for a budget amendment and be very transparent in the costs associated with additional rental space.
Thank you. I don't believe there's any action required on this. It seems like it's moving along nicely.
Okay.
Any additional comments or questions on this item before we move to item 11? Item 11, adjournment. Pursuant to the next Unified Community Services Board meeting, January 15th, 2024, 6 p.m. Grant County Administration Building.
2025.
That should be 25. Yeah.
25. That's a new year.
I get that one at 3
at No, it's here. It'll be in this space.
I'll make that motion.
I'd second that.
Have a motion.
Seconded. Who was my motion and second? Mike and John and Steve. John and Mike.
John and Steve or somebody.
I can't sleep on you guys at all here. I miss it. I miss all the happenings.
All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Stand adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Merry
Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Yeah, that too.